And I can't wait to get acquainted today with Zeke.
Howdy.
How are you, Zeke?
Doing very well. Sorry to hear that you're not feeling so great.
That's all good. It's all good.
It'll get better, too. I promise you.
It's all part of the seasons changing.
Yeah, and suddenly it's getting back to summertime now, apparently.
Yeah, for some.
Be careful.
Get acquainted. So, there was a lot of different vernissages that you were mentioning.
Yeah, they're vernissages, they're books, they're shows, they're videos, they're all over the place. It's the sort of thing where...
Where do you begin?
Well, no, I begin at the beginning, where I try and alternate between interviews, which I really, really enjoy doing live, and then because there are other stuff out there, if I were only to talk to people in front of my face every day, then we wouldn't be doing we'd be ignoring an awful lot of stuff. And so I take the alternate weeks to then try and deal with stuff, other stuff that's happening in the art world. There it's, there's a lot that's happening. And so I'm going to pick up on some follow-up. And first of all, back on September 21st, we spoke with, Rick Kadur. You remember him? The guy who runs Cassini House, Maison Cassini.
Yes.
They started out in Burlington, and now they moved uptown to Montreal. Well, he had a vernissage for what it's called, Tu n'es pas ici, and it was the first time I actually got to see his gallery, and I'm way impressed. It's the sort of thing where his gallery... Yeah, it's in the Belgo Building, 372 St. Catherine Street West. It's at a suite number 408. You don't have to walk up all five flights of stairs. You just need to walk up four flights of stairs, and then it's on your left.
It's worth the walk.
Definitely. And, it's quite nice. He's got, like, there it's at, you remember Headquarters with Tyson?
Love that place.
Yeah, Tyson there. It's the sort of thing where Rick has, besides the art and so on, also has shop stuff. And the thing that is cool is that his shop stuff is equally cool, maybe even, dare I say it, cooler than Tyson's shop stuff.
Dare you say that?
Except for the fact that I don't think there's any crossover. In terms of Tyson's got his stuff, and it's way cool and sort of makes it very enjoyable, sort of like, it's those sort of rare times when the art isn't good. You then go up to the shop and you look at the cool stuff. And Rick has some cool stuff as well, and at which point his stuff is just way out there on the fringe, and it's very cool. But But needless to say, because it was a vernissage, I didn't really get much of a chance to, like, see the art or anything like that. And this is one of the things that, I should talk about because, I can't stand vernissages. Vernissages, it's got into a big argument with a friend, and it's the sort of thing where she almost, like, wanted to scratch my eyes out and sort of say, you're not my friend anymore because of vernissages. Because it was the sort of thing where, I realized that vernissages, it's standing around doing chit-chat with strangers.
It's a whole networking thing. It's just not, and I guess we can't have an argument because I'm on the same side as you.
We can't have an argument. We can always have an argument.
No, but it's one of those things where I totally agree. You feel self-conscious, and it's supposed to be networking for the artist, which was fine, which is great. However, there's nobody that's really approachable in vernissages.
It depends on where, because there, I actually got like...
You're right, it does depend on where.
I've got people foisted on me and stuff like that, and it is...
And if they do know you, they do, especially if you're press, I guess. Yes, they do pay attention, but at the same time, it just takes away from the beauty of the art that's there.
Well, no, that's why I go back to see the art when it's not a vernissage.
Yes, I do that too, but not everybody does.
Well, yeah, because it's also the sort of thing where the way that I sort of view it is if you know the artist or you know the person who's running the gallery or you have some other prior connection to the place, then it's sort of like going to see a friend's band. And it's the sort of thing where you go to Club Soda, you go to Cafe Chaos, you go to Catacombs, you go to wherever, the Pound... or Salarosa, and it's fine to talk through the entire show just because the whole idea is you're there to support the artist, and at which point, even if you're not paying attention to the songs because you've heard them 3,000 times because they're your bestest friend and your ex's lover, then at which point you just sort of there because the more people are there, then the better they feel, and you sort of do that with vernissages as well, although,
I still support the idea, though. I still think it's a great idea.
I just can't.
I don't know. I find it loses its... Its appeal. I think I mentioned this to you once that I'd love to have it at the end of the exhibit.
There are people who do that, and
it makes more sense that way.
And it is the sort of thing where I just can't stand the chit chat with strangers.
don't they have like coffee?
Oh no, then they have beer wine. And they have wine.
Yeah, it's fine. Uh-huh.
Uh-huh. Yeah, in really, really fancy galleries, they have scotch and whiskey. And they have fancy ass scotch. And
even to the really fancy ones.
Oh yeah, no. You can get like 50-year-old scotches and stuff like that if you know who you're talking to.
Wow, Zeke.
Yeah, uh-huh.
I've never gone to one of those vernissages, but I'm.
Doesn't that take away from the? To,
but nonetheless, yeah. But this is the other.
No,
thing, right?
No. It what adds to it. Food? It adds.
Yeah, you're right. There's another argument I heard recently as well about that. Is that some people say, well, it heightens your experience when you're there. So what's wrong with that? And you know what? It's a great argument. It's a valid argument.
But yes.
Anyway, I'll let you continue.
Don't drink and drive.
I don't drive. Uh-huh. Be thankful I'm not on the road. But yes. Anyhow, yes, I saw too. I was actually doing the networking. I was doing the business stuff. So I got to see Rick. And then I also had gone to this vernissage at Vox, which is done by Nelson Henricks. And Nelson Henricks, there I cannot stand video art. I normally walk out of video art, walk away, cover my eyes, stick my fingers in my ears, and start shouting nasty things. Yes?
Why?
Video art.
You really don't like it, though. It's the second time you've actually mentioned this. Mm-hmm. You mentioned this last time at the DHC.
Yes. Uh-huh.
And I remember this, and how can you not like video art? But it's an emerging.
No, it is. No, it's no longer emerging. It's been around.
It's been around for 20 years or so, if not longer.
So we can be topical. It's actually been around longer than the Berlin Wall was around.
That's true.
It's one of the things that I find fascinating. It's the 20th anniversary of it today. Coming down, except for the fact that it was only up for 29 years.
Mm. Well, I think it's today, no?
Yes, it is. Today is the, yeah. But Nelson Henricks is a video artist who I think is superlative. I go out of my way, will willingly go to a vernissage of his because he is so spectacular and wonderful. And yes, there I'm working on getting him to show up 7 o'clock in the morning one of these days so we can talk to him. We're going to show videos on the radio.
Yeah, that would be nice.
But hold on a second. Let me cross these off of my list. Then the other thing is that I suddenly realized, yeah, we're running smack up into the holiday season. And in the holiday season, nothing happens in the art world. Like, everybody shuts down in, like, just about now almost for the holiday season. And they don't open until, like, March or something like that. And at which point, trying to find art stuff to talk about during that downtime sometimes can be a little bit difficult. And having been there last year, where I ended up, do you realize I actually last year talked about calendars that the banks gave out as art?
Yeah, that's true. The best art. So you can do the best art.
No, I can't stand that. Best of are like vernissages. They're horrible.
They're like vernissages.
Horrible.
The vernissages are not awful. It's just that the intention with it is what I think is kind of
okay.
Forgotten, I think.
But there is.
Or the objective with it.
But back to. We flogged that horse. Yes, enough. But I got not one, not two, but I got three books that I'm going to be reviewing. Well, it's way cool. It's the sort of thing where I sort of like sort of walking around in lots of plaid flannel checks and stuff like that and sort of letting people think and assume that I am just sort of like a numbskull when it comes to sort of things. And if they want to think that I'm sort of not all there and I'm just a hayseed from the hicks or a hick from the sticks or something like that, that's fine. I got this book called Art et Politique by Yves Lamoureux. And I suddenly realized I'm walking around reading this academic treatise on political Quebecois art of the past 20 years. And I suddenly realized, oh, geez, I think my cover's been blown. I can no longer be a hick from the sticks, a hayseed who knows nothing. And, yeah, I might be wearing plaid and so on and so forth. But this book is sort of like a big neon sign at me saying, I think, and I'm not so certain, but I'm not so certain. I'm comfortable with that whole concept. I'm much more comfortable giving off the air of being a hayseed. However, the book is something I will be reviewing when we get to downtime.
Can you mention those three books if you...
Yeah, no, I did one. Art et Politique is the first one by Yves Lamoureux. Then, because my exist sweetiest, or the lastest sweetie that I had was an architect. It's the sort of thing, or she still is an architect. She's just no longer my sweetie. It's the sort of thing where I
like how you get personal with us. See, do go on.
Shh.
Okay.
Okay. It's
exactly. I'm with you there, Margo.
More context. Like, more context.
Anyhow,
we need to know this information.
It's the sort of thing where I used to just walk by buildings and say, "Oh, it's a building." I was sort of like that song you had there, "Skyscraper, Skyscraper."
I play that song for you by Julian Plenty, by the way, listeners.
Mm-hmm. And it
right
is
after
the sort
Cassia
of
tone for the Painfully Alone. Yes, do go on.
And so suddenly I developed this sort of fascination with buildings. And so as opposed to just being, oh, building, no, it's, oh, look at that building. Is that building good? Is that building bad? What makes that building good? What makes that building bad? And then it's the sort of thing of the insides of buildings. It's like here at CKUT, it's like we got this really, really ugly green color that's all over the place.
They went to many meetings about this color.
Yeah.
You know?
That the only thing worse than this color is probably the meetings that they went to decide upon it.
You got to think of the gradual evolution of colors, especially at CKUT, though. I got to say, we've come a long way.
I can imagine.
Had a lot
they
worse
want
off.
To be calm in the
air. It's actually
air.
A little bit nicer.
Yeah.
That's why I keep my eyes closed most of the time while I'm on the air.
I think it was yellow before.
Yellow, yeah, I think, might be better.
Yeah, but, a little too exciting.
But anyhow, it's enough of that, because there it was. There's this other book, Les Visites Privées des Intérieurs Québécois, which is a nice picture book. And there it's a sort of thing where there's this sort of, yeah, Quebecois concept of Quétaine, which is really, really tough to sort of translate into anything outside of the borders. And it's one of the things I adore about Quebec and Montreal and stuff like that, is just there's certain things that just don't make it beyond. And for the most part, I've, for better or for worse in certain cases, I've been in the houses of some sort of rich people.
And sort of rich people as opposed to rich people? How does that work?
You're not entirely certain that they're rich, where it's the sort of thing where if they wear a sign on their shirt that says, I'm rich, you know they're rich. If they don't have a sign on their shirt that says, I'm rich, you don't know exactly. And so you got to sort of look around and try and understand. And it's the sort of thing where if they have a really big house, but it's really, really ugly, and they have no concept and they're trying to show off on some sort of stuff that you think is really silly, and you say, why are you doing this? And it's sort of like, where is it? Yeah, it's like this flyer, where it's like you have the picture of the DJ next to a really expensive car with like piles of cash floating around.
Yeah, oh. Yeah.
Look at me, I'm important.
It's a cruise.
Bling,
it's
bling.
The cruise night.
Anyhow, it was the sort of thing where I thought that that was the concept that was going to be in this book. However, in flipping through it, because it is a picture book, I was pleasantly surprised. So I'm now going to go and dive deeper into details and maybe even come up with addresses of stuff. But the one that I like the best, and these are all going to be reviews later when it's a dead time and tons of fun and stuff, and then we can even like get you to go out and buy the book. But I like this. I wrote down notes September 14th. Remember when I ranted about them moving the fountain that spouts fire, La Jute?
Yes.
Uh-huh. Well, anyhow, there's this book, Les Folles Vies de la Jute par Jean-Paul Riopelle, where a guy called Jacques Kibble, and sort of like Kibbles and Bits or something like that. Anyhow, he actually has, I don't know, like a 300-page book that's all words. I think there are only like three pictures in it entirely. And it's all words, and it's all about La Jute from like the beginning of the beginning to the end of the end, and it looks way cool. And on top of it, because it's called Les Folles Vies de la Jute de Jean-Paul Riopelle, and it's like a paperback brown thing, it's not gonna blow my cover. I can still look like a hayseed, like a hick. I get one of those sort of like long pieces of grass and sort of start chewing on it.
Sounds exciting.
Uh-huh. 'Cause there's another reason to be a hayseed and a hick, because back on
a
October 12th.
A country person, you mean?
No. It's the Quebecois version of a country. No. Let's not get there.
I did like your words or definition or trying to define kitten. I think that's a great idea, and I would like to say it to our listeners to try to think what they mean. What does kitten mean to them, or what does that mean to them?
You realize I can find you 17 theses.
Different types of interpretations.
Masters and PhD theses.
Really? On the word kitten.
On the word kitten.
Wow. Is the word kitsch in there as well?
Kitsch is different. Kitsch is different. Kitsch is not kitten.
Not totally kitten.
That's very true.
But on the border of kitten, but not quite. It comes to my mind.
Anyhow, back on the 12th of October, I got myself in a little bit of doo-doo because people started thinking I was defending Paulette Gagnon, you know, the woman who runs the Musée d'Art Contemporain. Anyhow, this Friday, there's round two. There was round one where they had the sort of like mea culpa, let's go talk about stuff at the Musée d'Art Contemporain. I got a recording of that, and I'm going to be slicing and dicing and chopping it up. This Friday, the UQAM guys are going having their sort of like, we accuse, and they're going to see if they can fix something. They're going to have one of those meetings that they have here as well, and I imagine it's going to be a lot of bureaucraties and stuff like that and everybody talking.
Is this open to the public?
Yeah.
And where is it, though?
SAT. It's during the day. Oh, nice. It's not at night. It's during the day. And thankfully, I will be there, and we will get to find out if I can get a recording of their proceedings, which will be very, very nice. And so, yeah, that's happening then, and we will see what happens. Then, because, yes, we are running out of time, right?
Did you know that you can get a PhD in letters?
Yep.
Yes.
I think Margo has one.
What? Oh.
So,
I got one last thing, and that is I'm also then going to be going to a charity art auction to raise money for S Magazine called Sold Vendu on Wednesday. Mm-hmm. And then, yeah, I can't explain why I think those things are horrible and so on. And then also, if anybody wants, check out video.ias.edu, which is my latest and favorite website.
And why?
It's wicked cool. It's the sort
what's
of thing.
What's on it? I'm like, it's wicked cool. It doesn't matter what's on it.
But there, it's the sort of thing where last week I went to go see this lecture by Joseph Leo Kerner on the unspeakable subject of Hieronymus Bosch. And since it was an unspeakable subject, he ended up speaking for an hour and a half on it.
Wow.
It's one of those things that you do when you are an art historian. And he was talking way fast. And it was a really big painting. And he had the close-ups and this, that, and the other thing. And so then I went to go see it and then was trying to do some more research on it and try and figure out what was happening and so on. Suddenly discovered that, oh, it's actually been videotaped. There's this place called the Institute for Advanced Studies down in Princeton, which is like way, it's like you have a humongous head. Nobody wears flannel there. Nobody wears plaid. They're bow ties. They're sort of like wingtip shoes. Something. They are sort of, in certain cases, shall we say, quirky, but nobody is trying to purposefully develop an air of stupidity. Most of them are purposefully trying to develop an air of way cool knowledge. And then I discovered that they have this video where of the unspeakable subject of Hieronymus Bosch. And they then also had, and then upon looking at it, they realized, oh, they have other ones, sort of like The Difficult Task of Erasing Oneself, Non-Composition in the 20th Century by Yves Alain Bois, who is also another really serious art thinker these days. And I suddenly said, wow, I'm going to have to, spend some more time in front of my computer. And I said, oh, that's not good. But
Thank you for explaining that.
Uh-huh.
And I thank you for giving us a nice overview.
Video.ias.edu.
Mm. Mm-hmm. And we're now going to listen into Democracy Now! Headlines. I think they're ready. And hopefully Aidan Goodman is talking to us right now. Do stay tuned.